Hello, everyone. The clip you're about to hear is from one of our exclusive Patreon episodes on a recent horror release, and just like all of our other episodes, it might include major spoilers for said horror release, so don't listen to it if you haven't already seen it. You've officially been warned. And if you'd like to hear the full episode, just head on over to patreon.com/horrorqueers and subscribe today. Without further ado, here is your exclusive Patreon clip.
I gotta say, this is a big old 0-2 for Blumhouse this year for me.
I am slightly recommending this movie. I would say do not go see this in theaters. I would say wait until it's available on streaming. This is right. A solid 2.5 that I did not hate watching.
Okay. Yes, that is a soft recommend. I am a little bit below that. Initially, I had this at a 1 because I was very frustrated with it. And then I thought back and I said, you know what? There's a bunch of good set pieces here. This is not a good movie as a whole to me, mm-hmm. but there's a couple of parts that I think are interesting or they're visually compelling. I actually think all the actors are doing their absolute best with some garbaggio material. Mm-hmm. So this, I ended up bumping it up to a 2. But yeah, do not spend money on this. Wait until you can watch it for free.
It's so interesting. So, you know, I went to the theater to see this, obviously, and it was a pretty big theater, but it wasn't very, like, sold out. You know, I think it made, what, $10 million opening weekend, which, hey, made its money back. We've got a $10 million budget on this thing. But, like, you know, there were a couple people at the bottom of the theater, a couple people at the top, but then I was in the row that had, like, the most legroom, like, that middle row in every theater, and my entire row was full, where most of the rest of the theater was completely empty.
Oh, weird.
But... like, I didn't talk to anyone in my row while watching this, but, like, everyone seemed to be laughing at all the right parts. And by all the right parts, I don't mean the parts that the movie wanted you to laugh at. I just mean the parts that were stupid.
Yeah.
So I had a very communal experience watching this movie with people who seemed to get like, how they were supposed to be consuming this piece of quote-unquote art.
Right. Well, and really, this is the Jeff Wadlow effect, isn't it? You mentioned Fantasy Island. Of course, he's also the individual behind Truth or Dare. Mm-hmm. For me, I think this is bottom. Like, I think this is the bottom of the three because I do actually quite like Truth or Dare. It's a bit dumb, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Fantasy Island is not good, way too long, but it has that bananas twist and kind of stretched out ending. And then this one is honestly just so predictable, so formulaic. It's got some interesting things, but again, it's not enough to make a satisfying film experience.
So it's so interesting. I actually think this is his magnum opus. And I-
oh my God. Trace.
I mean, again, comparing it to Truth or Dare, Fantasy Island, I agree with you. I think Truth or Dare is probably his most entertaining film. Fantasy Island, I think, is fun to watch specifically for that third act batshittery. But you're right. It's like over 2 hours long. And so it's just way too long.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he did a fairly decent job directing this. But yeah, this is bottom of the barrel material. I tweeted as soon as I walked out. I was like, you know, if this movie was a Disney Channel original movie that screened on the Disney Channel, you know, 20 years ago, it would be hailed as a masterpiece today. The problem is this is a theatrically released movie with a $10 million budget in the year 2024.